Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Hey, y'all. God damn it. I wonder if we had a link that you could go to anytime I said to you, hey, I'm live right now on the feed. And as a subscriber, you could just go over there to watch the video. In other words, I think we did that with the old site. We had an active link you could just go to. I wonder if that would be cost effective. I'm sure it's doable. Like, in other words, if I'm pre-taping the show, as I do every night, but the only exception is I do a live feed on Sunday nights. But what if it was live every night and I just told you, hey, tonight I'm going to be live at 9, tonight I'm going to be live at 11, you know, I'm live right now, or maybe I even forgot, you know, and you just happen to stumble upon it. I don't know. Is that kind of lame? Yeah. Who knows? Ted, what do you think?
Let me tell you something, Phil. I want to tell you something about Felicity Huffman. Her husband is Bill Macy.
Do they come into the restaurant?
I don't want to comment. I like to keep people's anonymity, you know, so...
Basically what you're saying is yes, they do.
No, I have not said that. No, I have not. I will not comment on whether they come into the restaurant or not. I would never do that because they're both great people and I want to make sure...
All right, so in other words, they have come in, Ted.
No! Where are you getting that idea?
Never mind. What is your opinion?
Fuck this.
All right. Jesus Christ. This fucking Ivanka Trump looks at her father like he's just the greatest goddamn thing that ever got shit out of God's ass, you know? He has this look, you gotta be pretty fuck. Well, never mind. I'm sorry. Ah, yeah, baby.
Bread girl.
I had to give her insulin early this morning because I was out the fucking door back into Hollywood to go to F is for Family, which is where I was last night, which you guys are watching this on Wednesday, so it would have been Monday night I was there for Brody Stevens' memorial at the Comedy Store, and it was packed. It was fucking packed. I don't know why I thought there would be only a few people there. What was I thinking? I thought it was going to be maybe just a very somber memorial that would last about a half an hour and then done. It was a whole night. It was a whole program for the evening. I could only stay for an hour. Anyway, I'll get into it on the show. But I could only stay. I sat with Derek Waters and Duncan Trussell. Derek, you know, from Drunk History, and Duncan, the comic, and Duncan's been on Drunk History a bunch of times. Funny guy, really fucking funny. And a couple other people, a couple other comics were there, but the place was packed. And this morning I went into F is for Family and Bill Burr was recording, you know, his lines, and he said he saw me. So Bill was there. I mean, I'm telling you, Brody would be blown away. He would be blown fucking away because I have this feeling, and I just say this between you and me, the pre-show audience, I had this really, really strong feeling that I don't believe he felt that he was really appreciated much as a comic. I don't think he felt that he was valued as much as he should be. In fact, I just really feel that way. I believe that he felt that he deserved better. And, you know, he's one of those guys, man, where, like a lot of people, he was so goddamn good and powerful. He was a hard guy to pin down as to what... He was in The Hangover. And he was in a couple other movies. I saw The Hangover. I'll be a motherfucker if I can remember seeing Brody in it. I don't know what was I missing. He played a cop. He was very proud of that. And in fact, in his stand-up act, he would do his lines from The Hangover, which is just it. And he worked the crowd fantastic. And he was entirely original and had a lot of energy and had a lot of great power on stage. But But I know that he tweeted this. He didn't like doing the midnight show at the Comedy Store. I mean, he liked it, but he wanted to be more of a headliner. He didn't want to just be on at midnight. He wanted to be on at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. And, of course, he went out on tour. He was in a lot of different cities. I think he made it look so effortless. I'd give anything to have half of his talent as a stand-up. I mean, because it's tough work, man. I can't do it. Being a stand-up is not just getting up there and saying, being funny, doing funny voices, you have to hit jokes, you have to hit beats, you have to make sure you're getting laughs every so often. You have to, you know, that's a real discipline. Back of my neck hurts. So what are we doing here, man? Are we gonna print this off? I'll print this off. I've gotta print off some stuff. I've started this, as you guys know me by now, I've started this pre-show and stopped it about three times tonight. And this is going to be, this is the one, because I realized I had to give Brea her insulin, so I had to stop the fucking pre-show because it was going to be a big, long thing. The printer, I couldn't figure that motherfucker out, so I had to call up Adam, and he finally says to me, why don't you just print from your phone? And he was right. All right, man. So, but that was a good move. Just he didn't, I don't think he felt valued. And the other thing about Brody is he was a conservative, politically very conservative guy. So he didn't relate to the rest of the Hollywood comics, you know, at least Twitter-wise. But God, he was really loved. And Zach Galifianakis gave the, basically kicked the evening off. Because they were tight for years. They'd known each other 20-some years. And, of course, he was in Zach's... was that Zach Galifianakis' movie? Did he direct The Hangover? Anyway, so he was emotional. He was very emotional. Then came another comic, and then came Brody's high school or little league baseball coach. This guy was fantastic. He had the lowest ERA in all of little league baseball. He was a pitcher and really wanted to be a pitcher. And then the Cubs, I didn't see him, but they said that some of the Chicago Cubs were there. Joe Maddon was wearing a Brody t-shirt. Did that make it onto TV? He was wearing a Brody t-shirt. So the Cubs, who Brody went to spring training with every year, pitched, I don't know, did he pitch batting practice? Probably. You know, he touched a lot of people, man. And but when I found out that he had killed himself, I God forgive me for saying this, but I wasn't entirely surprised. I was badly shaken, and I was very, I remember getting angry, you know, and all the shit you feel. But I was like, I was thinking, God fucking damn it, you know? And, so Morgan Murphy, who's a writer and a producer who I've had this Twitter relationship with and messaging and talking, and I've seen her at a couple of things and we've talked one night. After Brody had gone through a particularly tough time, he sent me, or Morgan sent me, a picture of the two of them at the Emmys. Was it the Emmys? Yeah. And it was a fantastic picture. It was a great picture of Brody, and it was a gorgeous picture of her, and there they were together. And I asked her, I said, would you send me that picture? You know, because I was talking to her on Instagram, and she said, I said, do you remember that picture? And she's this one, and she sent it to me. I said, yeah, that's the one. For some reason, I look at that picture, because he's there with a beer with a big smile on his face. Jesus Christ, man. I just, you know, suicide, man, it's all around me. I'm telling you, man, there's people I know. A friend of mine tried to kill herself about 3 weeks ago. It just feels like it's everywhere, you know. I mean, one of my best friends in the world, you know, Paul Compton, killed himself 8 years ago this summer. And his brother killed himself 2 months after 9/11. Not that 9/11 had anything to do with it, but that's, I'm remembering getting the call. I was in New York. Maybe it's because, you know, we're noticing it more. Suicide was always something that was in the news. You know, so-and-so kills himself, so-and-so kills himself. I remember it was a disgraceful thing. I remember Ernest Hemingway, when that news that Ernest Hemingway had shot himself first came out, I remember this distinctly. I was 8 or 9 years old, but I remember them saying he was cleaning his shotgun and it was an accident. They tried to make it into an accident. Very first reports. I'll never forget that. Until finally somewhere along the line, as my life went on and it harkened back to that, oh yeah, he killed himself. So they tried to cover it up, you know, as those things don't talk about, you know. Oh, Jesus Christ, it just is a fucking waste, you know. And I don't blame, like I said, I don't blame people that do that. I don't blame them at all. You know, I've had I suffer from depression. I take meds for it, you know. It's fucking brutal. And there's nothing worse in the world than being depressed and not being able to figure out why. It's horrible. It's fucking horrible. You're feeling terrible, and you don't know why. It's a horrible feeling. You know, anyway, what time is it here, man? 13. So I have no judgment of them, man. And I don't, it's bullshit about taking the coward's way. Anybody that says that you're being gutless if you kill yourself doesn't know a goddamn thing about it. They don't know a fucking thing about it. They don't know a fucking thing of what those people are going through. Anyway, yeah, I'm just thinking about, you know, I need to make some coffee. What do I do? Do I get up and make it while, and I put music on? Is that what I should do? Because I really need a cup of coffee.
I really need a cup of coffee. I gotta have a cup of coffee.
Oh, fuck. Paul says to me, or Carm Parica said to me, he's a friend of mine who knew Paul really well. Paul and Carm were probably best friends, but we were all friends. But Carm said to me, I think I told you this. I said, I was, God damn it, I wanted to call him, man, at the beginning of the summer. I wanted to give him the name of a doctor that I knew. Carm says to me, you think you're going to be able to do something about him, man? I was his best friend. I was with him a week before he killed himself. You know, we went out, we had lunch, we bought some books, you know, we talked. He said, I was with Paul just days before he did it. He said, you were going to be able, you know, I wasn't going to be able to do anything about it. You can't do anything about it. You think that you, if you would have done this, that's that bullshit. Because if they are, this is a course of action that they've decided to take. There's nothing you can do about it, man, you know. Oh, this motherfucking, oh, what are you, oh, God, not that guy. Okay. Here. Testy 1-2. What's going on, bruh? Doing, bruh? Test 1-2-3. All right, Phil Hendry here, and let's get up the old thing. Here we go. It's time to celebrate the Adam Carolla Show. Just hit its 10-year anniversary. Wait a minute.